Welcome to the Soccer Central Podcast.
Well, good Thursday, everyone, and welcome to the Soccer Central Podcast. James Sharman here alongside John Molinaro, as always, amidst a very exciting time for fans of football in this fair country of ours. Yes, we're in the midst of MLS playoffs, and guess what, people? There's two Canadian teams still in it. December the 10th, somewhere, there's going to be a Canadian team playing for a championship in Major League Soccer. It feels great. We're going to get into this in depth today. But to start with, we're going to have a little chat with one of the more well-known fans of Toronto FC. I'm sure you all watched the match last Sunday in New York, and there was a fella in the middle of that the traveling faithful, the maniacal crazy fans, who kind of stood out as a familiar face. It is former mayor David Miller. David, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Listen, this is a great story. We know this. You've been involved with TFC from day one. In fact, before TFC, you were instrumental in BMO Field coming to Toronto. Was there? I know you go to the games all the time. You're a season ticket holder. You have been from day one. Was there a time, though, in that match on Sunday where there was perhaps a moment of introspection when you thought to yourself, man, all that work all those years ago, and here we are now on the cusp of something pretty special?
You know, just thinking about Sunday, I'm literally getting goosebumps. It was unbelievable. And, you know, at the beginning, the stadium almost didn't happen. It took my personal intervention, which is unusual in City Hall. You know, usually it's a team thing. It almost didn't happen. It was a really closely run thing. And to go from seeing that, seeing the beginning of the club, going through all the struggles, to that moment where Giovinco scored and then the penalty, it was incredible. And to be in the supporters section, the energy there was amazing. It felt like we had 30,000 fans and NYCFC had 300. That's how fabulous the energy was. And I think it was that moment after the penalty, I did think, wow, we've come such a long way. This is just fantastic, and it's what we've been hoping for, dreaming for, not even daring to dream for a decade.
Was there an element of surrealness to it, David? I'm just thinking, you know, James and I were in the press box watching it, and it was kind of the feeling I had was just very surreal that here they were dominating one of the best teams in MLS and scoring five goals on it. It just seemed almost unreal, to be perfectly frank.
Yeah, I think that's a great word, John. It didn't feel real at all. It was fantastic. But, you know, if you've been a football fan for a long time, as I have, you know, I grew up in England, as you guys know. I support Ipswich Town, which has had brief moments of glory every 20 years or so. You're used to ups and downs and ebbs and flows and things never going your way. And I sort of expected with TFC, something always has gone wrong. So I thought, you know, New York was going to score and then we were going to get very nervous and it might be 2-1 for them and it would be a nail biter and we'd win on the away goals rule or something. I was pretty sure we were going to win. But to see it go 2-0, 3-0 by 30 minutes just was unbelievable, and I think surreal is the right way to describe it.
I remember, David, having you on while you were mayor on my old show, The Footy Show, and you were donning your TFC shirt and jacket with much pride. When you found out that the Toronto was going to host an MLS team, and obviously they'll be moving into BMO Field, at what point did you become a fan, and less of the part of the establishment, but a fan?
I think it was the first game. You know, I've still got my scarf from the first game with the ticket attached. And nobody knew if this would succeed. You know, the MLSE themselves were predicting sort of 12,000 fans. And when I went with my own seats to that first game, seats I'd bought and signed up just like everybody else, and didn't go to, you know, the boxes and everything else I was invited to, which, you know, were more my formal duties, I went as a supporter. And I think it was literally from that moment, because it was magic. You know, those first 3 years were fantastic, and it certainly wasn't the soccer on the pitch. It was well, it wasn't. I mean, let's be honest.
No, absolutely agree.
It was the supporters, and you know, my section was one of the ones that stamped so hard the bolts fell out. So that was the moment for me, right from that, you know, becoming a supporter by being there in my seats at that first game.
Right. I'm, you know, James and I are obviously a little biased, but I think that it's, you know, one of, if not, I think it's the best sort of sports atmosphere and sports experiences in the city of Toronto. Can you, you're in the middle of it because you go to games. Can you sort of explain what makes the, you know, just the fan atmosphere so special at TFC games for you?
I think it's that the supporters are making the atmosphere themselves. They're genuinely into it. They particularly the supporters' end, they've got all these crazy chants. But even not in the supporters' end, people are there, and they don't have to be told to applaud. You know, if you go to a Leafs game, I'm not picking on the Leafs, but if you go to a Leafs game, there comes up on the scoreboard, make noise, all that sort of stuff. You know, that's a very different kind of atmosphere. And I think soccer's unique in that perspective, and certainly TFC is.
There's been some dark days as a TFC fan, I'm sure you can verify that. And I know you've been quite vocal in the past over the years when things were going badly. If I remember correctly, you wrote an open letter at one point to management, which everyone read, and it was great. It was bang on. Did you ever doubt the club in this city and perhaps the future?
When I wrote that letter, I was seriously worried about the future of the club because the club needed stability. And what the management had done was bring in a new president and then 8 or 9 months later fire him. And he'd had a new vision about, you know, building from cheaper players from Latin America and doing that sort of recruiting. And for me, it was one straw too many, one change too many. You know, we saw Preki come in and be very defensive and get rid of players like Sam Cronin. Mm. And then when they got rid of him, I heard the coaching staff saw Cronin play one day and said, boy, he'd be great on our team.
That's right.
So all of that change was too much. And I think when I wrote that letter, it was out of frustration. But I do think it hit a nerve because most supporters felt the same way. The good thing is, after that happened, they went out and got Jermaine Defoe and Michael Bradley, and it turned things around. I think if they hadn't done that, the team might have been in very, very real trouble.
And further to that point, David, what do you make of the current sort of regime in terms of how they've built this club, both on and off the field?
Well, I think two things. You got to give credit to Tim Vez and Bill Manning for the mid-season acquisitions this year. Cooper and Ricketts are excellent. And I can't recall any other mid-season acquisitions that have even worked out just a little bit. So I think, you know, kudos on them. That means, to me, they're either exceptionally lucky or else they've done their homework, and I believe it's the latter. You also have to give credit to Greg Vanney. You know, if you remember the Montreal last game of the regular season last year in the playoff game,
right.
He didn't change tactics, and in the second half of the last game of the season, Piatti tore us to pieces down our right, and that happened in the playoff game. This year, Vanney seems to have really grown as a coach. He's not afraid to change tactics. He seems to get it right. He seems to get his subs right, and all the credit for him. I think he deserves a heck of a lot of credit for the formation, the tactics, and the selections against New York City. 7-0 over two legs is incredible, and he probably hasn't gotten enough credit for it.
Yeah, I think we're all a lot more happy that we'll be seeing Ben Shaw on the field against Piatti this time around. That's for sure. The Argos moved in, and I think there's been many people critical of that over the course of the last number of years, including yourself. But what are your thoughts now, having seen it for a season? Has it surprised you how well, I won't say they've integrated themselves, but as you don't really see evidence of the Argos on the average TFC match day?
I think the grounds crew has done a great job, but the weather's been helpful.
Yeah,
the real
sure.
test will be if it rains. And my worry all along, you know, if when the pitch was artificial, it didn't matter as much. Now we've got a superb grass pitch. The quality of the pitch matters enormously for soccer. And football, if it's wet, is very likely to seriously tear it up. So I've always thought we have this gem of a stadium for soccer. Its original name was Canada's National Soccer Stadium, not BMO. You know, can't we somehow find a way to keep this for soccer and have it be kind of a an example of excellence? That's my view. I don't dislike Canadian football. I was a huge fan of the Ottawa Rough Riders. I grew up in Ottawa, and I know how important the Argos are to that league. But I do think the ground sharing is unfortunate because that's the risk. When it rains and the weather's bad, or if it snows, the field could get really torn up, and that would be very, very bad for soccer and for recruiting excellent players, because they're going to want to come to proper facilities, which means a really first-class pitch.
Mm. And it'll be interesting to see how it holds up between the Grey Cup and the second leg.
3 days, right?
Yeah, because I think it's there's a three-day gap there.
David,
obviously, you know, guys like Michael Bradley and Sebastian Giovinco and Jozy Altidore have had strong seasons that they've been key to the sort of, you know, the incredible season. But when you look at the rest of the squad, is there someone in your mind, maybe not someone who's flying under the radar, but someone who, you know, a bit of an unheralded hero who has made like a major impact on the franchise this year?
Well, the new acquisitions they got in defense obviously made a really big difference for the team. But I think that's been acknowledged. I think the player who doesn't get nearly enough credit is Jonathan Osorio.
Mm-hmm.
He's had an excellent year. If you look at the fan boards, people are kind of critical of him, particularly when he wasn't scoring. But in my estimation, he's really grown as a player. He when he's on the pitch linking up with Giovinco, they make things happen. And he's, you know, gained his scoring touch. And I think he's shown a lot of growth. He's still pretty young. He's Canadian. And I'd like to see him get some more credit.
Mm. And finally, before we let you go, what's your prediction for the Montreal series?
We're going to score an away goal for sure. I think probably that match will be 1-1 or 2-2. Then it'll come back to Toronto and be tight. But we're going to keep them out of our end, and we'll score a couple probably in the last 20 minutes and make it look easy.
And will we see you with the throng of fans in Montreal or no?
I'm trying to make that happen. I sure hope so, because I got to tell you, John, being in the fans in New York was unbelievable.
Yeah.
It was just incredibly magic, and I'd love to repeat that experience.
Looked like you were having a good time.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if not in Montreal, I guess the fans will see you in Colorado, right?
Absolutely. No, they're going to see us smash Seattle in Toronto.
In BMO,
oh,
yeah,
bold.
Yeah, hey,
bold prediction. I like
right.
it.
So you got a TFC Seattle final. You heard it right here. David, thank you so much. Keep enjoying the games.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me on, guys, and keep up the great work.
Thank you very much. Kind of you to say.
That is former Toronto Mayor David Miller. You can follow David on Twitter at @IamDavidMiller. Truly a fan from day one, and as yeah. mentioned, he really was instrumental in TFC landing in BMO Field. BMO, of course, was, as you mentioned, there close not happening, but it did happen. And yeah. I like BMO Field. I always have liked BMO Field. People criticize it.
It wasn't much.
It was a cheap stadium. We yeah. know that, but it's a real sports stadium.
It is,
and
yeah.
it's improved certainly in the last couple of years since the renovations.
I asked the mayor, and I'll ask you, because you're unlike myself. You go to other sporting events in this city. what's your take? How do you compare the atmosphere at TFC
games?
Best. Is it? Yeah. Okay.
For sure.
Better than the Leafs
yeah.
and better than the Raptors.
Now, listen, when the Leafs start winning games and getting big games, it'll be loud, although it's still very corporate. We understand that.
Sure.
Raptors is a different experience entirely. NBA is.
Okay.
This is more of a, I don't know. I mean, I enjoy Raptors games. It's more like the circus in many ways. You know, there's so much distraction outside the game itself.
Right.
There's dancers, you know, there's music blaring, blah,
right.
blah, blah, right? For a pure sporting spectacle and the fan engagement, there is nothing like it.
Yeah.
And I'll say this much. Years ago, the Toronto Rock, the lacrosse team,
mm-hmm.
they used to sell out the ACC.
I remember, yeah.
And that was pretty loud in there. That was pretty good. But yeah, there's nothing like it. And I think TFC is just a great event for anyone.
It sounds like, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but what the former mayor was saying, it just sounds like it's more organic, and it's not sort of, you know, team led or anything like that. It's just
you don't need the big Jumbotron saying,
right,
applaud now.
Right. Let's make some noise.
It starts from the fan sections,
right,
and it resonates around the stadium.
Right.
And it gets loud, yeah, especially with the new roofs the last year or so.
Yeah, the noises
even louder.
Yeah, the noise is kept in.
And if I'm assuming they're going to open up the extra seats for the Montreal return leg. There've been, I think, 6,000 more seats for the Grey Cup,
yeah,
and for the Winter Classic hockey game.
Right, in January.
And the word is, if the demand's there, they'll open them up.
I think there will be.
I'm sure it's going to be there.
I mean, speaking of demand, I mean, tickets for the first leg in Montreal are going really well. I think they sold
30,000 already?
Yeah, we're like in the first 48 hours. So, I've been at Olympic Stadium for big games when there's been 60,000 there. I suspect there's going to be at least 60,000 there again.
It's a raucous atmosphere.
It is.
The pitch is
terrible.
Friggin' dreadful, though.
Terrible.
So you're losing something from the sport,
yeah,
to accommodate, I guess, a fan base. I'm not sure I like it. Listen, it's going to be cold in Montreal regardless, right? I like those teams staying in their stadium.
Yeah. I can understand why Montreal is doing it.
I get it.
And I got to say, as someone who has to go to Montreal in November to cover the game, I'm not terribly disappointed about being indoors.
It was pretty cold, actually, at Yankee Stadium, wasn't it?
Did you think?
I was cold. Really cold.
Windows
were open.
I wasn't.
But that buffet.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my word. I know people love hearing about media buffets.
Holy cow. Do.
It was like, someone mentioned, it was like the Mandarin for free.
Essentially. I mean, all my years of covering MLS teams, and I've had, many press box meals in many stadiums and a lot of bad meals. That was outstanding. Well done, New York City FC.
I outdid myself.
Did you? Yeah,
I had a heaping pile. I sat down.
Did you go with the chicken wings?
That's the point. I sat down with my meal, all excited. I get a whiff or something. I turn around.
And you went
right
back.
Behind me is the wing stand.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, so yeah, I piled that up too.
Yeah. And did you see the dessert table?
I didn't see that, no.
Holy cow. They had like
holy cow, isn't that a Yankees expression?
I guess it is. They had like cakes and like red velvet muffins or cupcake. My God, outstanding.
How did you feel being in such a baseball shrine?
You know, it's weird you mention that. I mean, I really didn't get a sense of, this is the Yankees home. I mean, there's certain, there's pictures on the wall here and there,
right.
But I mean, just strolling through the concourse a little bit, it's pretty plain.
Yeah, it is.
And there wasn't, I was expecting something like, because I've been to Fenway Park earlier this year for a concert, and there it's like all Red Sox, and you really know that this is the Red Sox home. I don't know. That didn't come across as strong at Yankee Stadium for whatever reason.
Is it a real multi-use facility? I mean, how much is there apart from soccer and baseball, do you know?
I mean, I don't know if another sports team plays there. I'm not sure.
No, but I mean, are the concerts there? Probably not, right?
There might be. And I know they played like international soccer games there as well.
It is a terrible soccer venue, let's be honest. The pitch is just weird.
Well, it's just because of, the way it's set up, right? So
yeah, I mean, listen, it's going to work for a couple of years until...
Until they get a proper
Abu Dhabi
stadium.
Decide that they want to build a real one.
Right.
Which they'll do at some point.
I just hope they get the same people doing the press box meal.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't get over it.
I close my eyes at night, every night since, and there it is.
Yeah.
Sitting there in my memory.
Outstanding.
Oh, really good. TFC Montreal.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks' time. It's too bad that it's in a couple of weeks' time. I mean, damn, international breaks, bad timing.
What are you going to do?
MLS, well, you play some midweek games and move it a little bit earlier. That's what you do. It was November. Remember, when BMO hosted it, 2010?
Yeah.
It was November 21st. Which was late, I thought.
Yeah.
December 10th?
Yeah. Well, but more teams in the league now.
I know. There's like a way around it, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you're going to get screwed by international windows either way somewhere along the line. If it wasn't this window, it would have been like another window. I just don't know what the workaround is.
You just play more midweek games. It's really that simple.
I don't know that the owners are like too keen on that just because they think that it's harder to get fans out midweek and they want like weekend games. So
when those owners gather in Toronto at BMO Field December 10th and it's 3 feet of snow outside,
yeah,
they'll be reassessing.
Or in Denver if it's three.
Or in Denver, yeah. Exactly. Now, in fairness, BMO say the field will be fine under ground heating.
Yeah.
Although it could be munched up from the Grey Cup 3 days prior. And I'm just joking by saying, assuming it's in BMO Field, it's going to be a tight contest against Montreal, who have just find, like, it's almost like they much like Toronto, You know, they're really peaking at the right time.
Absolutely. I mean, when you think about, you know, they smashed DC United in Washington, and DC, the hottest team in MLS down the regular season stretch. Then they get, you know, Montreal fans are going to hate me for saying this, but a little unfortunate to beat New York in the first leg,
I thought.
And not that New York, I mean, not that New York vastly outplayed them, but, you know, a draw probably would have been a fair result. And I think on the balance of play, New York was a bit better. But full credit to Montreal, they got the win. And then, but I think the general consensus among people was that New York is going to come good in the second leg and that they were going to, you know, win this because Red Bull Arena is a very difficult place to play. And I'm not sure the Montreal Impact ever won there before, but full credit to them. They went in there and they got the result. And my goodness, Ignacio Piatti, what a wonderful footballer to watch.
He is an absolute stud.
Absolutely.
He's not far off Sebastian Giovinco.
Well, different type of player.
Sure he is. But as different far as the impact he has on that team.
Absolutely, sure.
How they need him.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Because, I mean, he pulls the strings.
Yeah.
And he... obviously, it was a sock and finish.
Right.
17 goals this year, right, in the regular season.
And that could be a problem, right? Because he is so central, right? Whereas if you can neutralize him and shut him down, then so much of the action flows through him.
Yeah,
that it could be a problem for Montreal. Whereas, you know, Giovinco
drifts out.
He drifts out, yeah. Even if he has a bad game. Guys like Altidore and others have shown that they can sort of step up. There's other weapons out there.
Well, yeah, and with respect to Mancosu, you know, the Giovinco Altidore partnership is really working very well.
Right.
I'm not sure Piatti Mancuso is quite the same.
No. Although full credit to Mancuso, I think he's been absolutely brilliant. And the fact that he's been able to push someone of Didier Drogba's stature to the bench says a lot. So I mean, but great on Montreal. I think it's a great story. Not enough people are talking about them either. I don't think they're quite getting the respect they deserve.
Well, that's why, you know, this international break does one thing. It allows the hype to build.
It allows
you know, the media to get behind this game, you know, mainstream media as well as the sporting media.
Yeah.
So that will, I guess, help it and push it to the brink of this bubbling cauldron about to spill over, hopefully.
Yeah.
Do you think, I mean, I was asked this question a couple of times on various radio shows last little while. Can this game do much for the growth of the sport in Canada?
Do much?
Will it have an effect?
I think it'll have an effect. I mean, whether how much it will be, I mean, you know, I don't know how to quantify that. I think so. Look, I think it certainly is not going to hurt.
My thought was, yeah, it can't hurt. It's going to, you know, get some copy and some press.
Yeah, and some attention.
I think you need this to sustain itself over the course of a few years.
Sure, absolutely.
Get these teams playing in big games, then you're going to see a growth.
Right.
More eyeballs on it. I think you're going to get some more eyeballs on this game. These couple of games is good in that regard, but overall MLS is still MLS.
Yeah.
It's not going to get the press that other sports would, no matter what happens this
right.
year. But you keep doing this on a regular basis. And
yeah.
Two or three, I think Vancouver will bounce back. Really good Canadian-based teams.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if they can sort of sustain this for another 2 or 3 years, absolutely. But yeah, to get back to your original question, I think it helps. It certainly doesn't hurt. I mean, is it going to sort of be the, you know, the benchmark moment? No. You know, I think for that, I mean, and this is going completely off topic, it's, you know, the men's team has to qualify for the World Cup. That's when
absolutely.
It'll really explode.
And I think Canadian soccer fans, they're still looking at that Canadian men's team and thinking, man, the future isn't particularly bright there.
No.
It's not terrible, you know, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
We can really grab hold of this club scene right now.
Absolutely, yeah.
But the Canadian soccer fan, there aren't many of them really in comparison to you know, other sports at
right.
the moment. So they're loud and they love their teams,
mm-hmm.
right? But we need to grow that base.
Yeah.
And that'll happen eventually.
Yeah. Surely. And I do think this will help a little bit. Yeah, absolutely.
This weekend, the World Cup qualifying does resume. I won't mention the hex because it's too painful for us Canadians to rediscuss, although USA-Mexico could be interesting.
That's going to be tasty Friday, tomorrow in Columbus.
Yep, especially what happened this past week in the federal election. but some relatively big games, certainly optically England-Scotland, which goes on Friday. It sounds great, and once upon a time, it was magnificent. They played every single season. Scotland was relevant internationally, and I'm sorry, even Scottish fans listening, you know your national team sadly isn't that relevant anymore. Gordon Strachan's on the brink of being fired. In fact, a bad result against England, he could be gone.
Yeah, it's not like you guys are terrible.
No, listen, we're no, trust me, England is no juggernaut, but I think we're relevant.
Barely.
Oh, come on. They're irrelevant.
You're not that relevant.
Has it come to this, J-Mo, that England's not even relevant on the international scene?
Are you more relevant than Scotland? Absolutely. I don't think there's any question about that. I mean,
I bet England games still pull in the biggest numbers worldwide than
I'm not sure that...
It's relevance.
I guess.
Not so much competitive relevance.
But that's what I'm talking about. That's really what I'm talking about.
Okay. Well, I mean, listen, England isn't a bad team. They're not a great team.
They're not a great
team. They're a team that will struggle for quarterfinal football, apparently.
Right.
And that's what they are. But still, this game itself, you know, does mean a lot, I think, to the fans more so than the players. It used to be that you'd have, you know, these teammates facing up against each other. You'd have, you know, Scottish players trying to prove to the English players that they're as good. You had a lot of players based in Scotland who were playing at Celtic and Rangers who were really good teams internationally at that point.
Mm.
But it's certainly the last two decades has gone downhill for Scottish football. So it isn't quite the same. In fact, it could be argued England-Spain a few days later has a lot more interest than England-Scotland, which is a bit sad, I think.
Yeah. A lot has changed since they last met in a competitive fixture, right? At Euro 2006. Yep. Euro 1996.
Was that when it was? Euro 96.
Yeah.
Last competitive. I guess it would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
What a game that was.
Paul Gascoigne.
Yeah. A lot has changed for both the countries since then.
A lot's changed for Paul Gascoigne, that's for sure.
Yeah,
sadly,
yeah, yeah.
Sadly. Italy play Liechtenstein. What do you make of your boy, Mr. Ventura's comments about MLS, saying that he's not going to pick Giovinco because it's an unimportant league?
Not surprised.
No.
That's sort of...
Is it ignorance or has he got a point?
I think it's ignorance. Yeah. Because when you look at sort of the players that he has called up, I think Giovinco should be in that team. So, yeah, I mean, this is you know, just ignorance thinking MLS isn't up to snuff. The other thing, too, is, and, you know, this is as an aside, is that Italian managers historically, and this speaks, I think, to the sort of
isolationism.
Yes. Thank you very much for helping me. The mentality of Italian managers, because routinely they'll overlook players who don't play in Serie A, right? When you look at that 2000, when you look at that 2016 that won the World Cup, every one of them played in Serie A. And players, when they go abroad, they just have a harder time getting the game for whatever reason. I look at the classic example of Gianfranco Zola, great player, you know, playing for Parma and Napoli, then went to Chelsea, and that was pretty much spelt the end of his national team.
Yeah. Forgive me, I haven't done my research yet. I'm starting today. Was Pella left out of the squad?
No, I think he was called up.
He was called up after what happened last time?
Yeah.
I'm stunned by that. A guy that plays in the Chinese league.
Yeah.
How is that an important
I might be
league?
Wrong. I'm pretty sure I read that he was called up. So,
but regardless, he was called up since he's moved to China.
Oh, absolutely.
Considered an important league? But that's a joke. That's what annoys me with this comment.
Yeah. I think that was just based on Pella because he had a relatively strong Euro, 2016. So Ventura wanted to continue that. But yeah, I mean, look, I mean, and I'm going to write about this later too. You know, MLS sort of fans, writers, people who cover the game, we got to get over this. You know, right? We got to get over our hurt feelings about this because it's, you know, why put so much weight in one guy's ignorant comments? Like, they don't mean anything.
No.
It's like,
I agree.
Michael Bradley said it best last year because someone was saying about, well, you know, I was ahead of a Montreal game and he's saying, you know, what's it like to, you know, have Drogba and does it in the league and does it sort of speak to the quality of the league? And he's just like, you know what, at some point, we just got to get beyond this and just not like, you know, it is what it is and stop talking about it. Like, we don't have to constantly remind ourselves that we're a good league.
The DPs aren't going to define this league because what's going to define it eventually is going to be when the homegrown talent becomes good enough.
Right.
That's what will lift the league, right? You can sign all the players you want from overseas, all the overage, you know, rich guys, big names.
Right.
The league will improve once that lower foundation gets better.
Sure. And I do think it is getting better.
Absolutely, yeah. No, they're ignorant comments by Ventura. Why would you, you know, rule out any potential player because of where he plays? Giovinco clearly good enough. At the same time, you know, it isn't the quality of Serie A or the Premier League or, well, Premier League, no, I'm joking, or La Liga, but it's still a relevant league, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Is that a relevant word again? All right, J-Mo, out of time.
Okay.
Anything we get to before we go here?
No, I can't.
What's coming up on the website?
We got a column from Graham Ruthven on the whole England-Scotland thing.
Okay, and Scotsman.
Yeah, there you go.
From a Scotsman's angle.
Yeah, because we'll have, I think it's a Sportsnet World showing the game tomorrow. I don't recall.
Yes, it is in Sportsnet World. So our coverage begins at 2:30 across the network with a few games starting tomorrow. Myself, Danny, and Craig involved.
There you go. And you're doing a video hit later previewing all the games. You're going to file a blog later, I think?
I'm hoping to, yes. Okay. Yes, I've got to get my preparation.
Nice how I put you in pressure.
I know, exactly. I have no choice now, do I?
And then we'll have like coverage of, we're going to have pieces on TFC and Montreal Impact this weekend too. So we'll keep that going. So a lot of good stuff on the website. Check it out.
Bits and Bob's got to mention quickly. I want to get your opinion here. I'm driving to work today. And I'm stopped at a light, and there's a skateboarder crossing the street. But he's one of those skateboarders who's about 45 years old, but he's dressing like he's 17 years old on a skateboard, right? Mm. And he completely wipes out. Oh. It was the funniest thing I've seen in a long time. I pissed myself laughing.
Oh.
Does that make me a bad person?
No.
Doesn't?
No, I don't think so.
Now, if he was like a kid, I would have felt bad for him.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
This is a middle-aged man who, if you want a skateboard, that's fine. It's a good mode of transport.
Right.
But he's dressed like he's 17.
Was he hurt? Like, was he?
No.
Did he get up pretty quick?
He actually did the cartwheel and then stood up straight away, picked up his board and kept walking like he meant to do it.
Then
it was pretty obvious what he was doing.
Yeah, then you're fine then. No harm. Yeah, absolutely.
It was really funny.
Yeah, absolutely.
Extremely funny.
Yeah. I think it's childish that you laugh, but there's no harm in that.
You can't be surprised in that.
No, exactly.
I'm a very juvenile person.
Exactly.
All right. That's it, everyone. Enjoy the games this weekend. There will be a podcast on Monday.
Oh, there will be?
Dunlop and Dobby and myself are actually going to be in town all together at the same time. We've missed a few weeks.
What are you going to talk about?
We haven't discussed any of it so long now that we're going to just chat.
Okay,
about
good.
Whatever. A bit of MLS, a lot of Premier League, the weekend games internationally, of course.
Cool.
So, yeah, there will be a podcast. And then we'll return on Thursday, I'm sure, to set you up for the weekend. Our thanks to former Toronto Mayor David Miller, always a great perspective on TFC from a man that was there from the beginning. Our thanks to Eric Prime behind the glass. Everyone, thank you for listening. Cheers.